Well, the reality shift is occurring. People are changing. I can feel it. You probably can too. We're going to come back in a moment. Full hour to go. Phone calls, your calls with Cynthia Sue Larson as we talk about her work, reality shifts, and Aura Advantage. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. Cynthia, what are some of these warning signs of a weakened aura?
That's a great question. And the kind of things that you want to look out for that could be signs of a weak aura would be if you're just having a whole series of accidents, you're having recurring bizarre accidents or a string of bad luck. You could feel like someone's watching you, have big changes in your behavior, memory lapses, fatigue, nightmares, obsessive thoughts, illness, aches and pains, dramatic loss of self-confidence, or just really sudden mood swings.
What's the best way to kind of strengthen the aura then?
Well, the best thing that I would suggest would be all the things that your parents probably told you to do when you were growing up. That means rest, get enough rest. And
sleep. Eat spinach? No.
Eat a balanced diet? Yes. And spend some time in nature, exercise. Minimize that drug consumption. We were talking earlier that you want to not get falling down drunk on a regular basis. You need to meditate, energize, stay grounded. So really practice things that are healthy for your body. And all of this to put together can give you a very vibrant, bright energy field.
Lynn McTaggart calls this the field. Of course, this connection between all. And I call it the wireless internet that connects us all. How about you?
I call it the internet, just I guess like what you call it. Yeah, the internet.
That's also the web and it's of life, wireless. But, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you get on it, if you know how to get on it, you can do some incredible things.
Yes.
You really can. Let's take some calls here for you. We're going to go to Skype first of all. We're going to Modine, Israel. Celia is with us on Skype. Hello there, Celia.
Hi.
Hey, good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George. I'm very excited to speak with you.
Thank you. You too.
I have a question, and I'm sorry I'm a bit shy. At night, oftentimes, the lights are off, and I'll be closing my eyes, but I'll see a bright light, like through my eyelids, like, you know, when... Mm-hmm. You're in a bright room or something with your eyes closed, you know that there's light. So I was just wondering if your guests would know what that could be about or.
What is that? Go ahead, Cynthia. Take a jump at that. Yeah, okay. Thanks. I'll let you listen on your computer there, Celia. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, that's the first time that happened to me. I was going through a Kundalini awakening experience, which was an opening of all my energy centers. And I was experiencing the presence of angelic guides. And at that time, it was at night, and I wanted to get some sleep, just like what you're talking about. But even with my eyes closed, I felt like I was in the presence of so much light. It was just incredible. It's like someone had turned all the lights on. But if I opened my eyes, I could see the room was dark. So it's, what I would call that is probably either your own energy that's opening up, just like what I'm describing in a Kundalini awakening, or more likely you're in the presence of some amazing angelic beings, and it's a time of enlightenment and awakening for you.
We go to Mark in Bonner Springs, Kansas. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. First-time caller, I got in on the wild card line, and my luck must be shifting.
It is. Good.
I had an experience years ago with my brother. Now, my brother seems to have made this key appear just at a moment of where it may have saved our life. We were in my car waiting to get on a ferry. I lived up by Everett, Washington at the time. And we had got there early. And so while we're waiting on the ferry, we went to the local bar and had a beer and then come back and got in the car just as the next ferry was coming on. Now, there was a lot of cars waiting in line and behind us. And I went to start the car, and I couldn't find my keys. And evidently, I probably had left them at the bar. That was too late to go to the bar and get the keys. And I had owned this car for only 2 or 3 weeks. But we were feeling doomed. I mean, we were afraid we were going to be mobbed. It would have surely caused a lot of road rage. And both of us were desperate. And I didn't know what to do. My brother, he says, well, you know, maybe there's a key in the car. Sometimes they leave a key in the seat. And he stuck his hands in the seat of the car, in the passenger seat, and found the key to the ignition.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it's like we both wanted this, needed a key so bad that he made it materialize, or both of us materialize.
That is that a little bit of what you're talking about, Cynthia?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And amazingly, I've got a similar, well, it's a different story in Reality Shifts, where I was camping. It was one of those weekend holidays where I was just a long ways from any locksmith, and I was with a friend, and he had locked his keys in the trunk of the car, and we were locked out, no spare key, and we just were searching everywhere. It was definitely a desperate moment. It's like a couple $100 mistake to have someone drive out all that way and on a holiday weekend. So he just put his hands in a prayerful position. I think he was meditating or something, and I was watching him, and I literally saw a set of keys just appear, materialize about 3 inches below his hands, and then fall to the ground right in front of him. And he opened his eyes because he heard something hit the ground. It didn't register with him right away what had happened. And I said, "Your keys." And he looked like he was coming out of a trance. I think he really had been deep in meditation and prayer. And he was amazed. We both were. And I said, "Were you holding those?" And that, which would have been impossible because I was watching him. And he's not a magician. He didn't do sleight of hand. So it's just amazing when something like that happens. It's just literally, I don't even know if those keys were in the seat of the car cushion. That's just crazy. But it reminds me of the same thing. Often when things materialize, they show up in a place where we think they might be, but it's kind of a crazy place, and sure enough, there they are. So it defies logic and reason. I mean, there's a slim possibility, but in this case, the keys just showed up out of thin air.
Cynthia, are we tapping into a godlike state when this happens? I mean, are there angels out there going, "I'm going to make up some keys for these people," or "I'm going to let these cars kind of mesh together, but nobody will be hurt"? What's doing it? Are we doing it, or are there entities out there doing it for us?
Well, you can actually believe either way. My tendency is I love angels, and I'm a very spiritual person, so I would lean that direction. However, the atheists who are tuning in that want to believe, well, it's a possibility that the whole thing can be explained with physics, with this entanglement and so forth, then there's a good case that can be built for that. And so you don't necessarily need to believe in angels, but I think it helps. I like the idea.
We go to DeWitt, Iowa. Dan's with us on the wild card line. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Earlier, you were discussing multiverses and multi-dimensions, and I'm wondering, if I exist in one dimension, do I exist in all dimensions? And if I'm alive in one dimension, can I be alive in that one and dead in another?
Okay, well, if I understand you correctly, you're wondering if you might be alive in one and dead in another. I think we're getting things mixed up here a little bit. When I'm talking about dimensions, then you would exist in all of them, but you might not be aware of all of them consciously.
Right.
So, and then the being alive in one reality and dead in another reality could be possible. In fact, it probably is possible with the number of alive again reports we're getting with people that we were talking about earlier, like Jane Goodall, Nelson Mandela, and so forth.
Jack Palance, throw him.
Yeah, Jack Palance. That's a great one.
Unbelievable. Is it possible, though, that with the multiverse, let's say there are 12 universes, I think there's more, but that there could be 12 of us in each universe, all doing different things?
A lot more than 12 of us, George. A lot more. But yes, doing completely different things. If you think of every single decision point where you're making a choice, as branching realities from that moment forward, and all of the intricacies of everybody that you interact with, then the decision tree rapidly becomes astronomically huge.
What about the possibility of other Earth-like planets in our universe, and we're exactly alike, that there's another you there and another me there?
Like a physical planet.
A physical planet.
Well, I don't know that we would see it in our very own universe. That seems unlikely, but doesn't mean it's impossible. When we're thinking about a multiverse, it's more the case of side-by-side parallel realities. It's like you had many, many versions of the same movie, like Star Wars or something, and in each editor's cut, they'd made a different decision as to what happened in the next scene. And so you'd have all these different movie frames, you know, just side by side. And that's like all these reels of film are like different parallel universes side by side.
Let's go to the state of Washington.
What?
Michael is with us now. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, it's just me.
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. George, you're a gentleman and a scholar and a nice guy.
Well, I do my best, Mike.
And I'm glad I got through. And Cynthia, I guess my synchronicity is working because I wanted to call George and tell him about my parallel universe experience, but I just couldn't get into it. And here I am. And basically, this started in Vietnam. I was there early in Vietnam, early in 68. And we had this big, like, 50-acre field that we had cleared for military outfits to train and do stuff and have meetings. And I was going somewhere. I don't even remember where I was going. I was walking by myself, and there's this great big PC, a personnel carrier. They weigh a whole bunch of tons, and they carry a squad of infantry. And basically, they sit on inside on each with their backs up against each wall, and then the driver will come up if he wants to employ them real fast, and he'll drop a big, huge, multi-ton tailgate that actually turns into a ramp. And I'm walking along, and this guy's coming up behind me, and I'm on the edge of the field, and I don't really see him. And then at the last minute, I sort of turn in towards the field, and then it's like somebody spun me around. And in the course of that, I felt somebody pull me away. And then all I'm looking at is the guys on the sideline. Wow, you just cheated death, didn't you? And I'm going, I don't know. What happened? You know, and I'm just kind of in a fog. And then to bring the story home, later on, in fact, it was fairly recent when I was listening to your show that you were talking about parallel universes. And what happened when I came back from Vietnam in 68, this guy that was in my high school looked like he saw a ghost when he saw him. And he says, is that you, Mike? He kept saying that, and he was turning white as a ghost. He says, it said in the papers that you died in Vietnam. So there you go.
Same thing. That's right. I love these stories are this way all the way, Cynthia.
Yeah, so that's an experience from someone who is alive again, but didn't experience the time where you died, except you felt like you really got pulled. That's interesting. Like someone grabbed you by the shoulder and turned you around.
What episodes do you hear, Cindy, that are the most prevalent in terms of things that are happening? Missing keys, lost time, saved by an accident? What do you hear?
Well, we talked about coincidences and synchronicity coming in first at 95%. Number two is time slowing down, speeding up, and stopping. That's 86% of the people that were surveyed said that has happened to them, where they just felt like time did something really strange. Number three is finding parking spots when needed. 78% of the people report that happens pretty regularly. Number four is appearing and disappearing items, 72%. And that would be the most frequent kind of reality shift story that gets submitted to the Reality Shifters website. It would be people saying something disappeared and then it reappeared in the darndest place and quite inexplicably.
Let's go to Jacob, San Jose, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Jacob. Go ahead.
Yes, Cynthia, in your research on investigating people's auras, have you ever encountered people that tell you that when they're walking or driving an automobile or riding in an automobile and they're approaching street lights that are out, they come on suddenly, or if they're out, after on they go dead as they pass by the streetlight. This on and off phenomenon of streetlights, has that ever been reported, and have you investigated that?
Yes, it's been reported. I've personally experienced it, and some people call it sliders. Not sure where that term came from originally, but I noticed that it happens when my energy field is very strong. In other words, I'm all revved up, I'm excited, I'm exuberant, but I'm not very well grounded. And when I'm in that state of high energy but not grounded, I've also walked into rooms and flipped on a light switch and the light burned out. And repeatedly, like I just walk into room after room. I used to do this a lot until I noticed what was going on and didn't want to keep replacing all the light bulbs and the dishwasher and the, you know, you can just really mess things up. So people that have this kind of an effect on electronics and equipment, and actually this is a well-known phenomenon that goes all the way back to Wolfgang Pauli, who, you know, he used to go into laboratories and think the equipment would just all malfunction. So that can be, it was called the Pauli effect. It got so bad, but he delighted in the whole phenomenon that wherever he went, whatever laboratory he visited, and he was a Nobel laureate, but it would just break things down. So this is an amazing phenomenon, and I would just credit it with being high energy, not grounded.
Let's take another call before the break. Gary in Sarasota, Florida. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. Let me get you off speaker here.
All right.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to speak with you, Mr. Norrie.
Well, you are welcome. I'm glad you got through.
Long-time listener all the way back to Art Bell. I'm a physicist from the University of Michigan. Graduated. And I wanted to address, your guest mentioned the multiverse. That is a good question. It's a good postulate. But I have to say, if it's not real, if you can't touch it, feel it, smell it, it's not there. There's no math to support it. It's honestly a bit absurd.
Let me ask you a couple questions. When you say you can't feel it, can't touch it, let's say the stars throughout our galaxy that we can't feel, obviously, but you know they're there. We know they're there. So that's not the issue. But how do we know these multiverses aren't physical, and we just can't get to them? Hold on, Gary. I want to come right back to you. We're going to hit this break, and I'll get you to finish up answering that question. We'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking with a pawn shop opener, and he will be telling us what he does, how he gets his goods, and what he does with it. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show, followed, of course, by Open Lines. When we come back in a moment, we'll take final phone calls with Cynthia Sue Larson right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Cynthia Sue Larson with us. This is a worldwide phenomenon, isn't it?
It really is. It's the kind of thing that I'm getting reports about reality shifts from everywhere in the world. It's not just the Bermuda Triangle. It's not just Berkeley, California. It's everywhere. And people are noticing everything from that alive again phenomenon to things appearing and disappearing. They're even noticing loved ones appearing before they actually get home. That's an effect called the Vardager effect. This is a Norwegian word for it. So on every continent, in every country, reality shifts are occurring.
What's causing it? What do you think?
My theory is that consciousness itself is the cause. You know, like we were talking earlier, because to be aware that our consciousness has that power, that what we focus our attention on and what we're looking for, what we're observing, actually does make a difference in what we physically see and what becomes real.
Back to the calls we go. Leslie, truck driving in Texas. Hi, Leslie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, this is a fascinating subject, and I had a, I guess what you'd call a dimensional shift happened to me when I was a kid. I was riding my bike home on the wrong side of the street, and the traffic was coming toward me, and there was an oversized camper coming right toward me, and I couldn't get out of the way. There was a curb I couldn't go up on, and the lady driving the camper couldn't move to her other side because there was a car in that lane. We locked eyes. I saw her face. She knew she was going to hit me. I knew she was going to hit me. It was awful, and we just seemed to go past each other, and we didn't connect. And I always remembered that, and it was just the strangest thing. And what you're talking about tonight, that's exactly what happened to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's electrifying to hear that.
Yeah, because I don't know if we both thought, no, this isn't going to happen, and so it didn't. It should have... that should have been the end of me.
there's a miracle right there, Cindy, and these things do happen all the time. Let's go back to the physicist, Gary, in Sarasota, Florida. Hi, Gary. So if you're saying if you can't Hello. See it, you can't touch it, it's not there.
Taste it, feel it, smell it, prove it by math. Everybody has lost their car keys miraculously. Found them somewhere, two vehicles colliding, my goodness, and all of a sudden they don't collide. Then to tie this in with a multiverse, which there were three leading theories in physics. Remember, Einstein published both his great papers in 1905 and 1915. This is an impossibility. It's quite simple, and we're dealing with physics that now is going on 100 years old. The multiverse was one. The Big Bang is number two, and then there was Hoyle with the steady-state theory. Now, Hoyle didn't make out so well with that. Now, the multiverse, it's hard to describe over a telephone, because you're going to, at best, get a two-dimensional picture of a four-dimensional thing.
Right.
But the Big Bang can be traced down to a billionth of a second. But, oddly, even theoretical physicists, be they at Princeton, Oxford, MIT, wherever, cannot explain what happens before that.
I agree. That's got to be one of the most baffling questions out there.
Well, trying to picture this. You have a dimensional plane. Then you have another one. And then you have another one. And your guess is correct, Ms. Larson, when she says that there would be infinite possibilities. And when she laughs a little bit and says, well, you know, more than one, yes. There would be billions, one for absolutely every other universe that could possibly exist.
I'm gonna move on, Gary, because I'm running out of time. I get your take on this, that you have to be able to physically see it. Michio Kaku, another physicist, says no. Cindy, you're a physicist too. So what do you say of his, Gary's thoughts?
Right. Well, I can certainly understand that point of view. And frankly, if I hadn't experienced so many hundreds of these bizarre experiences, these reality shifts myself, I would probably be shaking my head and saying that sounds crazy. But it's something that once it's happened to you, once, twice, 10, 20, 30 times like it has to me, In fact, much more than that. At that point, it's you'd be crazy to say that there isn't something going on, that you need some kind of explanation. And what I was referring to about the Large Hadron Collider and the recent studies that are happening there about the question of whether the universe is natural or unnatural, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but basically, just due to the statistical improbability of what's been found for the Higgs boson, that it's the bare mass is just on such a level at 126 giga electron volts, the interactions with other known particles should be adding quite a bit of mass to it, but they don't. So something's going on, and this whole supersymmetry question is just, it's coming up empty-handed. They don't find the symmetry they'd be looking for, so it looks like the leading explanation for the math, and you're right, the math is correct. The question in mind here with quantum physics is, what is the interpretation? A many worlds interpretation can explain, in fact, it's the best leading explanation at this time. It's the horse that's in the front right now in that horse race as to which interpretation is the right one. Maybe a couple of them are right. It might not be just the many worlds, but just because we can't see something like love doesn't mean it's not the most important thing in our lives.
Let's go to Theodore in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good morning,
hello,
George,
Theodore.
Cynthia.
Good morning.
Good morning, Theodore.
Okay. When I was a teacher up in New York a few years ago, a friend of mine, a fellow teacher, shared with me a story which I've been able to absorb and use and share with many other people, and it's always helped them, I would say 99% of the time. Whenever I've lost anything, I tell the St. Anthony prayer. Good St. Anthony, come around. My wristwatch is lost. Please come around. And I say that repeatedly, and then all of a sudden, within 5 minutes usually, or the same day, that item all of a sudden appears. So, people lose things, that's a good way of having the man up above help you find them.
I like that.
That's great. I love it too. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, in some cases, Cynthia, people misplace their keys. That happens.
It does happen.
But in other cases, maybe not.
Well, there are, like I said, I've had so many strange things happen to me. I lost a small jewelry case of my most precious personal jewelry, some of it irreplaceable. I'd carried it in my purse, and it would fit in the palm of my hand, but it had hundreds of dollars of priceless to me jewelry items, and it was gone. So I was doing my equivalent of the St. Anthony prayer, like what you're talking about, except in this case, I was pacing in a circle in my house, just basically thinking about the mantra, hope for reality shift, just hoping it would come back. And it didn't come back that day, but within a couple of weeks, it did come back, and it arrived in a place that I'd never had it before, in a drawer that I keep clothing in. And it was a welcome sight, but very surprising nonetheless. And I've had things just appear suddenly. I'd be pacing around in a circle in my house and looking for some glasses that a friend of mine had been wearing, but he'd lost them, and just saying, hope for reality shift, hope for reality shift. And then they just showed up on the floor in the kitchen in the circle that I'd been walking. Suddenly there they are, like out of the blue.
Let's go to Michael in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Cindy.
Hello.
Hello.
Just a quick comment. I would say that Rod Serling may be having fun at our expense. but on a serious note, it is conceivable that at some point in the future, time travel becomes possible and the time stream is being changed. That would account for these things that you're talking about. And I'll take my your comments offline.
Yes.
Can time change like that?
Yes. Well, if you think of space-time as a fabric, that's the way it's often described in physics. And so actually, very much, you can have time-reality shifts. I was talking about earlier that there are quite a number of different kinds of time shifts that people experience, whereas time can slow down, stop, or speed up. And In addition to that, there can be communication with the past or the future, ourselves in the past or the future. We can experience changing the past. And sometimes experience a time loop where there's a perfect repetition of events, like a series of things happen, and then it happens again. Like that scene in the movie The Matrix where Neo says, I think there's a glitch in The Matrix, where he sees a cat that walks by twice. And I've experienced that as well. So changes in time come hand in hand with changes in space. It just goes together. We tend to think of them separately for some reason, but space-time, if you think of it like more like a fabric, like you're just jumping from one sequence of events in a series of frames in a movie from one reality to another, when you make that jump, you can actually change time slightly and get a small repeat of some of the same events that are going, they're just running again.
Let's go to first-time caller Kyren in Coos Bay, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, Kyren. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like to talk about today. I would like to talk about my dad says he sees auras over me, the color blue and purple, and I was just wondering what that's supposed to mean, the colors. Like, what is it supposed to mean?
All right, what's blue and purple with these auras, Cynthia?
Okay, well, blue is a color of somebody that's just really clear thinking, and it means that you're probably very aware of the way things actually are. Like, you just have a knowingness about you. That's a really strong color for understanding. So engineers, nurses, a lot of people in the healing professions have that. And then purple is a very spiritual color. It's often associated with people that have just a tremendous wisdom to them. So it sounds like you have very idealistic viewpoints, that you can see the way things really could be. You don't suffer fools gladly, but you're patient. So you have a deeper, sort of an old soul sense to you.
All right, Kyren, thank you. Wes, David in Denver. Go ahead, David, take it away.
Hello, George and Cynthia. This is David. I was in a car accident about a little more than 3 hours ago.
Oh, my gosh. You sound okay. Are you okay?
I am good. Thank God, bless the Lord. I was turning left at an intersection. And this car I just purchased like less than a week ago.
But you can always fix the car there, David.
I hope. I don't know. It's a mess. But, George, I have an incredible birth date. It's June 6, 1960.
What happened?
I've never been in a car accident before, and I don't know why it happened to me with this situation.
These things happen.
I'm still in shock. I'm calming down a little bit, but I don't know.
Are you sure you're okay? Did you have to go to the hospital?
No, I'm all right. Everything was cool.
You know, you may be sore in the morning, David. Believe me.
I know. I was driving home from work, and it's just like in the wrong place at the wrong time, kind of like serendipity.
Well, the synchronicity is there, but the good part is you're okay. And that's the important thing. Cindy, so he gets into an accident, but he's okay. What do you say about that?
Well, I'd say the same thing you're saying. Be grateful for what is and that you've got your health. And when you've got your health, you've got everything. So that's just a fabulous miracle in itself, a blessing. I don't know the details of the accident. I'm sure it's quite shocking and upsetting, but...
Most people I know, though, they get into accidents, always get sore the next day. So, David, expect that. Let's go next to Cole in Austin, Texas. Hi, Cole. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Cynthia. All right.
Hello.
My question is mercury vapor lights. I was in the Army for a long time, and there's a lot of times where you have duty at night, right? You walk by these things, and they're not at their full glow, and then they start to light up. They go back to there's like a instance where you're in their sphere of influence, and then they light up even brighter. Is that kind of the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yes, you can definitely have, right, in addition to blowing things out, you can also kind of influence them the way you're describing. So a light could get brighter instead of just totally going out. That phenomenon we were mentioning earlier called sliders, where you're driving or walking past and the light bulbs go out, but you're right. Sometimes you can walk close to them and get within their field, and they do get brighter.
That happens to a lot of people. Some people do have that uncanny ability to do that. It's right. Weird, isn't it?
It's amazingly common. I mean, considering that it seems weird, or maybe it's just people that frequent my website, but a lot of people that have written in and told me about this effect as well.
Are you a faith healer as well? Can you do that?
Well, I've seen reality shifts of a healing nature, yes, and I describe them in reality shifts. I believe all of us have access to that. By the steps are pretty simple. Just feel connected to the individual that requires the healing, focus on them, and see them coming through in a good way. So putting a positive intention on it. And in that case, I've seen people come out of comas, had cancer disappear, had broken bones pretty much instantaneously healed. Just a wide variety of things that would basically be called miraculous.
All right, take a very quick moment here and tell us where we can get your books.
Well, you can find my books at Amazon or barnesandnoble.com or at my website, which is realityshifters.com.
All right, very good. Cynthia, thank you so much for being on the program. Good luck in everything you do. And, of course, don't forget, Friday night into Saturday morning, open lines next. Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.